The basics of baptism are always good to review. If we're honest, regardless of how long we've studied the subject, how long we've been a Christian, how long we've been a member of the body of Christ, it doesn't matter how long it's been, it never hurts to go back and take a look yet again at what it means to be baptized. To take a look again at what baptism is all about. There are several questions that we could ask ourselves as we look at the subject of baptism. For instance, what does it mean to be baptized? Is baptism necessary? Why are we baptized? Who is the principal actor in baptism? Why was Jesus baptized? Today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. We celebrate and remember the baptism of Jesus Christ today. Why was he baptized? Similar to these questions is one that comes from our reading this morning, in which John the Baptizer himself says about Jesus, he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What does that statement mean? So we're going to take a look at these questions and consider baptism today. Firstly, what does it mean to be baptized? What is baptism? What is baptism? I mean, we talk about it, we hear the term, but what is the word? What does it mean? It comes to us from the Greek language, from the Greek word baptizo. And baptizo means to submerge. First service, I asked the finance chair for a coin to illustrate this, and he gave me a penny. I take this penny. There he is over there. You'll get it back. Take this penny, and I'm going to baptize this penny. There. Well, you just dropped it into the water. Yes, I did. I submerged the penny into the baptismal font, and it goes down and rests at the bottom of this font. And for it to be truly baptized, for it to truly have the meaning of the word baptizo, it must stay there. It must be submerged and it must stay submerged under the water. In other words, the Titanic was baptized in the Atlantic Ocean. Yes, they brought little bits and pieces of it up out of the Atlantic over the years, but the majority of it is still sitting down at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. It has been submerged under the water where it stays. That's the meaning of the word baptizo. That means that if Christians were to really reflect the meaning of the word baptizo, to submerge, we would drown people. But we don't baptize people by drowning. Isn't that good news? We don't baptize people by drowning. Our friends over there at the Baptist Church don't baptize people by drowning either. They put them in, and then so that they don't get, you know, arrested, they bring them out. Well, that's not a very good illustration of the meaning of baptism. Because to baptize means to be submerged within and to stay submerged. And specifically, baptism is into Christ Jesus. We are submerged into the love, the presence, the power, the calling, the family of Jesus. We are submerged into Christ Jesus himself. We are submerged into the presence of God, into the love of God, into the grace of God, into the power of God, into the calling of God, into discipleship with God. We are called to be submerged into Jesus and then stay there. Not to go in and out and in and out like some kind of a rotating door, no. But to enter the family of God, to enter Jesus, and then stay. To stay there. That's the essence of the meaning of the word baptism. To be submerged into Christ Jesus and then to stay there. So essentially, that's what it means to be baptized. To be submerged into Jesus and then stay. Now the second question, is baptism necessary? Well, I'm going to be slippery here. And no, they don't give us courses in seminary on how to be slippery, but good theologian that I am, my answer is yes and no. Now, there's a passage in the New Testament that says, baptism, which this prefigures, now saves you. And I have friends who are Church of Christ and Baptists who tell me, aha, you see, it says baptism saves you. You've got to be baptized. My answer is twofold on that. Firstly, The word there is a noun, not a verb. The word in question is a noun. Baptism there is a noun, not a verb. So it's not the act of being baptized that saves you. It's the state of being baptized. It's the state of being in Christ Jesus. It's the state of living in God's love. It's the state of living in accordance with God's will. It's the state of living with Christ Jesus in your life and your life in Christ. It's the state of being a member of the body of Christ, the church. It's the state of being out and about and doing what Jesus has called us to do as the children of God. It's what it means to be a Christian in all of its essence. It's what it means to be baptized. To be living in baptism means to reaffirm Christ Jesus, to affirm the love of God, and to share that love with all. A biblical illustration for this is the thief on the cross. He looked at Jesus and he affirmed Jesus and said, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He had never been baptized. Certainly not in the name of Jesus. And yet Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That right there is a biblical proof that it's not the act of baptism, but the state of baptism. Of having... That's called Satan not wanting the message. It's the state of baptism that we are called to live in. That's what saves us, my friends. Living with God, living in God, living and expressing the love of God to others, living and expressing the real presence of Jesus to all, being in that state, in that condition, living that life, sharing the love of God with all, that's what it means to be, quote unquote, saved. All right. Next question. Why are we baptized? That's an easy one, because Jesus told us to. But even more than that, throughout the history of the church, we have understood baptism, the act and the state, as being a means of grace, an instrument by which we receive the love and presence of God. So Jesus told us to do it. That's one of those red letter things, you know. And so we do it. But in addition to that, we understand it to be a means of grace, a means of receiving the love of God. So we do it for that reason as well. Who is the principal actor in baptism? Well, Greg, that's easy. That's you. You poured water over Hank's head. Every time you do a baptism over here, you pour or sprinkle water over people. You do the baptism. No, not me. Well, then the person being baptized. No, they're passive. You receive baptism when you are baptized. You are passive in the act. The actor is God, with the church as God's instrument, as God's representative, applying in the waters of baptism. God is the principal actor in baptism. And that means it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, or where you're from, or how old you are, or whether or not you can understand any of this at all, that's entirely irrelevant. If God is the actor and we are the receiver, then you can be an infant, or you can be 83 years old, or 93, or 103. It doesn't matter. God loves all. And God calls all into the family of faith. And in baptism, we reflect and proclaim the love of God for all. So, my friends, it doesn't matter who we are. What matters is who God is. And God loves all and calls all into the family. God is the principal actor in baptism. We are called to receive it. Simply receive it. Well, what about babies? Infant baptism as opposed to adult baptism. What about them, right? There's no difference between infant baptism and adult baptism. Not a bit. God is the actor. The baby or the 83-year-old is the receiver. God is the principal actor. The human being is the receiver. The church is the agency. The only difference is when the confirmation takes place. It either takes place, as it did this morning in first service, immediately when Hank affirmed his faith in Jesus Christ and was confirmed immediately and received into full membership in the church. It either happens then, or it happens 10, 12, 15 years later when the baby gets old enough to be able to affirm their faith, accept it for themselves, and receive full membership themselves. It's the same thing, it just matters on the time factor involved. See, for us, we seem to think it matters that 12 years in between the baptism and the confirmation, and it doesn't. It doesn't matter. We seem to think it matters, and it doesn't. It can be 12 seconds or 12 years. God's grace is sufficient and powerful and never fails. We are contingent. We are called to receive it and affirm it. So truly this morning, there was no difference between the baptism of an infant that we've seen here in the past many times and the baptism of 83-year-old Hank Wilson. Both received God's grace passively as a gift of God's love. And then both either did or will affirm their faith in Jesus. Next question. Why was Jesus baptized? Oh boy. Books have been written on this subject. Books will be written on this subject. It's not an easy one to answer. My favorite response to it is something that was said by Augustine, an early bishop of the church back in the 3rd century. He said that Jesus was baptized in order to power up, empower, establish the act of baptism for us. We sang about it in our hymn today, where he doesn't come to be forgiven. Instead, he comes to give us forgiveness. He comes to be baptized to give forgiveness to us. I like to think of it the way Augustine did. Jesus was baptized to make the act of baptism a sacrament for us. He died. He was baptized in order to make it a sacrament for us. So that's my opinion. And finally, and here's probably the hardest one. What does it mean when John the Baptist says, he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire? That makes me uncomfortable. I like the first part, Holy Spirit. In the United Methodist Church, we proclaim that we baptize by water and the Spirit. And I like that. But what's this fire bit? It kind of makes me uncomfortable. I went on a cruise in the Polynesia area and saw these fire walkers. They had a pit of coals, and these people get out, women and children and men, young and old, they'd get out and they'd walk on the fire coals. And they didn't run. They didn't go, oh, 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 run. They walked slowly but steadily through the fire pit. And they would get out, and then they would have us look at their feet. They weren't burnt. They weren't blackened. They weren't hurt. They weren't blistered. And then they said, do you want to walk on the fire? Well, some guys who had had about 18 or 19 beers wanted to do it. I wasn't one of them, although I could have been enticed, I suppose. But nevertheless, I think it takes 18 or 19 beers to want to do it. Anyway, they got out and they walked on those fire coals. And they weren't burnt either. You sure you don't want to do it? No, 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 no. Keep me away from fire. Fire has lots of positive attributes. Can you think of what some of them might be? Huh? Heat? Light? Oh, come on. When you're cold, you got the heat. When it's dark, you got the light. What else? Huh? You cook food with it? Yes. You burn away the dross? You purify things with the fire? Huh. You consume trash with fire? Fire has lots of very positive qualities. Heat, light, cooking, purity, the destruction of trash, and all of these things, fire, it's a positive thing, a gift of God. Think about that in the context of baptism. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit and fire. We are baptized into the light of God's love. We are baptized into the heat of God's love. The light and power of God's presence to comfort and warm, to purify, to remove that which needs to be removed from our living, to nourish us and strengthen us. Light, heat, purity, strengthening. Fire does all of these things. Baptism does all of these things. It brings us to the light of God's love, to the warmth of God's presence. It gives us what we need to live the Christian life, sharing the love of God with all. Baptism is an amazing thing. It's one of those points of faith that people of multiple denominations have come really close to. Be we Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Episcopalian, United Methodist, Disciples of Christ, Metropolitan Community Church, multiple denominations share a common understanding of baptism as a means of God's grace, as a way of receiving the love of God and sharing the love of God with others, as an initiation into the family of faith, as a calling to proclaim God's love and acceptance to all. The means of baptism, be it sprinkling, pouring, or dunking, is irrelevant. The person receiving it is irrelevant. God is the actor. What we proclaim is nevertheless true no matter how we do it. We are called to share the love of God with all, to receive all who come and desire to be part of the body of Christ. We're called to share the love of God with them. Be they infants, be they adults, matters not. All are welcome to come and receive the grace of God. So my brothers and sisters, hear the good news today about our baptisms. The good news about Christ's baptism empowering our own. And the calling we have to share the love of God with all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.